This is the Word and the Walk podcast, pursuing faithfulness to Christ while being grounded in biblical truth.
This is Josh Kelso here with Tyler Azeltine again. Tom is not with us for this session also, but we received a question about a little over a week ago that Tyler and I wanted to have a conversation about today. It's a really good question having to do with how the believer should think through the different laws of Scripture, and particularly the laws that came during the various covenants, was kind of the nature of the question. So when we see commands to humanity prior to Israel, when we see the Mosaic covenant with the Mosaic law and law there given, when we see the new covenant and instruction to believers, how should we think about those different laws? What level of authority or weight do non-New Testament laws have in the Christian's life? How should we think about those things? There's a lot there, a lot of places we could go with this. Tyler, would love to hear your thoughts. What of that do you want? What of that do you want to answer?
None of it, and all of it. A word that you threw out, Josh, is covenant. And I think it's really helpful to probably define what is a covenant.
Mm-hmm.
A definition that I've heard is a covenant is a formal agreement or treaty between two parties that includes obligations and regulations. And as I think about that, I think that is a really, really helpful definition, because it makes me ask the question, who are the two parties involved in each covenant? And so as you open your Bible and you think back through the different promises of God, the different covenants that God has entered into with mankind, who is involved in each of those circumstances? And as you rewind, flip back all the way back to Genesis, there is a relationship that is started before the word covenant is used in Adam. And Adam entered into a relationship with God. And the word covenant is not used there. But there is definitely this creature-creator relationship right from the beginning of creation. And God made promises. God issued commands. And he didn't, in his sovereignty and in his wisdom, did not use the word berit, the covenant word, to define that relationship. Man was still accountable to his creator. That's a helpful thing for me to think about as we start to talk about this conversation.
Yeah, that is good. Just thinking about to whom is God speaking, to whom is he making these promises, that can require some work and some intentional effort when navigating the nuances of various texts. And yet there is clarity in God's word. I think the kind of the question that's being presented for us is how do we think about laws that were given to God's people who were in covenant. So thinking about Mosaic law for the nation of Israel, how do we think about that as New Testament believers? Where are we bound to? Are we bound to Mosaic law in any way? And I know it's been broken down where the commandments that we find in the Old Testament fit into various categories: moral law, civil law, ceremonial law, you know, the right and wrong, timeless right and wrong behavior before God. Don't kill, don't murder. Civil law, things that governed the nation of Israel. Restitution, penalties for different offenses. Ceremonial law, how Israel was to worship God. people have categorized those things that way. And for the New Testament believer, oftentimes it can be encouraged, disregard this kind of law, disregard this kind of law. But this kind of law is the law that we still need to give attention to. Talk a little bit about that kind of thinking and how you would respond to that kind of thinking in light of what we see in the New Testament.
Yeah. So I think it is very clear all over the New Testament, all over the epistles, that we are no longer under the law.
Mm-hmm.
Some people would say, yeah, that is the law as a whole. All of those details, we're not under those. And it has been a very popular tradition in Christianity to say, but the Ten Commandments, we are under those.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is
like the moral law.
That is the
pinnacle of morality.
The pinnacle of morality, yeah. And it's interesting in the question that was given to us, our brother said the classic scenario is the Sabbath,
mm-hmm.
which is part of that Ten Commandments,
right?
and you have, this is what was best for Israel, was to maintain the Sabbath,
mm-hmm.
to keep a day holy. And as we keep turning to the right in our English Bibles, we get to Paul's instruction, which says, Colossians 2, therefore do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day.
Mm-hmm.
These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ.
Mm.
And there's new instruction for the believer, mm-hmm. to actually not hold up the Sabbath as if it is the moral standard for the New Testament believer, for the mm-hmm. church. And you have to wrestle with that.
Yeah.
I think what is also equally clear from Scripture is that all Scripture is profitable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's intended for us to use it so that we could grow in godliness.
Yeah.
So should I not read the Old Testament because I'm not sure how to handle it?
Yeah.
In certain places.
Or it's no longer applicable to me because I'm no longer under the Old Testament law. That argument could be made, which obviously is...
I could skip whole books that aren't my favorite to read anyways. That's great. It's convenient.
Yeah.
No, actually, I think God's word is applicable to us.
Yeah.
It's not applicable in that I open up my Old Testament in order to find out how I need to live.
Yeah.
In every single circumstance.
Yeah.
But it helps me, the law, even the most stringent part of the law, helps me to see that God is holy.
Mm-hmm.
That his standard for his people under this promise was high, was thorough.
Yeah.
Was there are so many details to things that God thought was critical to how Israel would represent him to mm-hmm. the nations.
Yeah.
And I should be really thankful for every part of God's word.
Yeah.
Not because it gives me all of the shades of how I need to interact with family members around me today.
Mm-hmm.
But because it reveals a holy God.
Yeah. Because a command in Scripture isn't intended for you doesn't mean that God's word somehow loses its potency or impact or benefit impact or implication on the believer's life. Simply learning more about God, knowing God, drawing near to God, understanding his character, his desire for his people, all of those things still has very, very significant implications on the believer's life and thinking. So in thinking through the various laws, we don't neglect portions of our body where God's given instruction because that instruction is no longer binding for us as New Testament believers, where it was for Israel at that time. The clearest instruction for the believer to know how he or she ought to live is actually found in the New Testament, where believers are given specific instruction. And Jesus oftentimes raises the bar from not only addressing outward actions, although I would appeal that God was never only concerned with outward actions, but really put his hearers, and particularly the Pharisees, in their place, where he said things like, "You've heard it said, thou shalt not murder. You shouldn't even have anger in your heart, because as you're angry, you've already murdered your brother in your heart." And commands such as that, same with lust and so on. Oftentimes, the standard that Jesus put before his followers penetrated to such a heart level that gave greater clarity to what the Lord desired for the New Testament believer. And thankful for that, encouraged by that. That's helpful. That's not to say that there isn't overlap. Mm-hmm. And the authority doesn't come for the New Testament believer from the Old Testament. Is that what you would you say? How would you say that? If there is overlap, the New Testament says don't kill or don't murder. Same as the Old Testament, don't murder. They're both authoritative, but for the New Testament believer, what binds us to that is the New Testament instruction. And it's okay to see moral expectations reiterated for New Testament believers today that were also expected for saints prior to Christ's coming. What would you add to that? What would you tweak in that or clarify with that?
Yeah, I think again it's one of those, okay, where these words are to who? Yeah. Like who is God speaking to in this part of Scripture? Where am I in this picture?
Yeah.
So as you think through different covenants, I think there's different answers.
Yeah.
That relationship that Adam had with his creator. I am a creature.
Mm-hmm.
God is still the creator.
Mm-hmm.
He gave specific instruction to Adam that was related to the garden.
Yeah.
Is that applicable to me today? Am I to go name every animal? No, that's not my place. That's mm-hmm. not what he's called me to do.
Mm-hmm.
But is there that relationship there? Yeah. And and I think murder is addressed at the beginning of Genesis before there's even a covenant.
Yeah.
I need to submit to God's standard.
Yeah. Cain knew it was wrong to murder his brother.
Yep. Yeah. You think of the word covenant actually starts to show up with Noah.
Mm.
And that covenant between Noah and his descendants and all of the earth
mm-hmm.
and a God who said he would not judge the world the same way,
mm-hmm.
I think is really broad, intentionally broad.
Yeah.
It was to all of Noah's descendants, and every one of us falls into that category.
Mm-hmm.
There was no one left because of the consequence of sin before the flood.
Mm-hmm.
And as you keep on turning the pages, you get to the Abrahamic covenant, which was primarily to Abraham's offspring,
mm-hmm.
to Abraham himself, and then his offspring. All of the nations experience benefit from this covenant relationship with God and Abraham. So are we in the Abrahamic covenant? As beneficiaries, we are.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a covenant between God and Abraham. I personally am not a descendant physically of Abraham, though I get to have faith like he did.
As far as you know.
As far as I know, and I don't know much. there are other covenants, the Mosaic covenant. Who is that between? God and God's people, Israel, through the intermediary Moses. God spoke to Moses, and Moses delivered this covenant to Israel. It's interesting. Even inside the Mosaic covenant, there is a special covenant with the priests. and then you get the Davidic covenant after that, which is kind of still under the umbrella of the Mosaic covenant.
Mm-hmm.
It's special. It's specifically for David, for David's descendants. Ultimately, we'd see that Christ is the fulfillment of that covenant. Yeah, and then we have the new covenant today, which is another thing. We are beneficiaries of a covenant that God promised to his people Israel, and then we get to benefit from God's grace under this covenant because of Christ, because of his blood shed for us, for everyone who would believe.
Yeah, which how amazing is that? Just his love to bring us in who were far off. We don't deserve it. And he has reconciled us and brought us in. And that's really the story of all of Scripture, is God's faithfulness, his grace toward mankind, his love for mankind. And I think when thinking about the law and the commandments of God, he has been clear. He's been clear what's expected of us. And I love what John says in 1 John 5:3. And I'll turn there so that I get it right, because this is being recorded. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome.
Mm-hmm.
Just love that. When we think about the law of God, when we think about his commandments for his commandments for us, his expectations of us, they are expressions of his love for us, and to come under his authority through submission and obedience to his commandment, to his law for us, that is actually the best possible thing for us, and expressions of God's love toward us. So praise God for that.
Yeah. One thing practically to do as you're reading God's laws from the Old Testament is to ask the question, did God address this topic in future revelation? To the church, did God talk about this?
Yeah.
And look up cross references. Yeah. That is not a bad thing, to pause your reading of the Old Testament to inform your heart about what God has said in the New.
Yeah.
That is really, really beneficial.
Yep.
And you won't find corollaries to every single thing in the Old Testament, but there are some that you should make note of.
Yeah.
And let God's word remind you of God's word.
That's right. Excellent. Thanks for the question. And if there's more, please feel free to pass them on to the elders of Gilbert Bible Church. And we would love to work through those. This is a blessing. Thank you, Tyler.
Thanks, Josh. Yep.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Word and the Walk podcast. The Word and the Walk podcast is a ministry of Gilbert Bible Church. For more information, please visit our website at gilbertbible.com.